Hello and welcome to the Crystal River Church of God podcast, where you will find focus for a living.
Now I want you to know that we have experienced what I'm about to preach on in this service. I want to preach on the subject, I've got to get God's attention. I've got to get God's attention. Understanding that you always have God's attention, but how many knows there's a difference of somebody knowing you're there and paying attention to you? There's a difference when somebody knows that you're there, but yet when somebody pays attention to you. In the book of Hebrews chapter 11, we're going to begin with just one verse, and then we're going to use several different passages. But it goes like this. By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts through it, he being dead still speaks. By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice. So I want to talk to you for a few moments tonight on getting God's attention and what it takes to get God's attention. What does it take? It doesn't take you cutting yourself, beating yourself. It doesn't take you denying yourself. What it takes is sacrifice. What it takes is sacrifice. Now, some of you, even though you didn't feel like it, sacrificed unto the Lord, which was the words of your lips, was the praise of your hands. It was worship unto God, and it shouldn't be, but we all know that sometimes it is a sacrifice to worship God because your flesh is not into it. Because your flesh gets tired. Your flesh wants what the flesh wants, but your spirit wants what God wants. We've all got this thing figured out. What we should have figured out a long time ago, that as long as I have King Jesus, it don't matter what else I have. Point number one is this. If you have a mobile device, and I think my notes are on uversion.com, do a search for CRCOG, and you can have the message notes there. Point number one is this. A sacrifice has the ability to get God's attention. Sacrifice has the ability to get God's attention, but we don't know what sacrifice is anymore. The Bible says that by faith, our text says by faith, Abel was able to offer a more excellent sacrifice. Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain by faith. Now the problem with us is that we have forgotten how to get God's attention. We used to know, but some of us have gotten lazy on how to get God's attention because we have other people who can get God's attention for us, so therefore we don't have to sacrifice to get it ourselves. We've got worship that brings us there. We have songs that bring us there. We have psalmists who bring us there. We have preachers who bring us there. We have prayer warriors who bring us there. But I want you to know that if we're going to get what God wants us to have, we got to learn how to get God's attention for ourselves. We're too busy trying to get everybody else's attention. We're too busy trying to get somebody else's attention. We're trying to get the boss's attention. We're trying to get our peers' attention. We're trying to get the saints down the road's attention. But we're trying to get the attention of the sinners up the road. We're trying to get attention to someone over us who can help us, but you're not getting God's attention. God's attention is the one you need. It's the one you want to focus on. Because when you focus on getting God's attention, because one moment in God's attention, suddenly things change. Suddenly things change when you get God's attention. There's something that happens when God pays special attention and you get a manifestation of His presence where you are. Things change in the spirit realm. And how many knows are you? If you don't know, let me just tell you that things change in the spirit before they ever change in the physical. You have to change it in the spirit before it ever changes in the physical. There has got to be something in you that cries out and says, if I can't get God's attention, If I can get his attention, everything's going to be all right. But if I cannot get God's attention, then there's no help for me. There's no hope for me. If you get everybody else's attention and not God's, then you've just wasted your time. Some people just want to get understand me. Some people don't understand why I praise the way I do. Some people don't understand why you praise the way you do. Some people don't understand why Vicky praises the way she does. Some people don't understand why other folks worship the way they worship. Because you got to understand, in order to appreciate our breakthroughs, you got to know our been-throughs. That we've been through some things. In order to understand our praise, you got to understand our story. And in order to understand our story, you got to know that we want God's attention because it was His attention that was paid on us that allowed us to walk up out of what we used to be in. Why do I clap my hands and sing? If you realized that God got God's attention a long time ago, that He can step into my situation and in a suddenly season, He can transform my season. He can transform my time. He can transform my life. He can transform my mind. He can transform in a moment what I've been working to do for 10 years in a suddenly season. It's not going to happen with me sympathizing with you. It's not going to happen with me just talking to you. It's going to happen when we get God's attention. When you get God's attention, things change. When you get God's attention, things happen. I've long since given up on the flesh. I've long since given up on the flesh. I've long since given up thinking that people is my answer. People's not your answer. Jesus is your answer. God is your answer. If somebody can put you in a position, somebody can take you out of position. If somebody exalted you, then somebody can de-exalt you. But when God gives you promotion, all the devils in hell can't bring you down because it was God that worked it in your life. By faith, by faith, by faith. If somebody talks you into getting saved, somebody else can talk you out of getting saved. But when you have an experience with God, let me tell you that anybody with a experience with God is never at the mercy of somebody with a theory about God. See, if you come along, I've had people say, Pastor, can you articulate all of the nuances and theological principles and concepts about how God heals? No, I can't, but all I can say is that He does. Well, how do you know He does? Because He did. Once He ever did, it doesn't matter. People will not be able to convince you otherwise. Just because you came to church today and parked your car here. Just because that you sit on a seat, just because you tip, and it doesn't mean that you have gotten God's attention. There are millions, probably billions of people who went to church today who didn't get God's attention. They came, they went, but they didn't get God's attention. I have this happen a lot sometimes because our church has gotten quite large, and I'm still trying to figure out how to pastor this large of a church. And I hadn't figured it out. But we're working at it. And I realize that sometimes people are gone for a month or two or sometimes 3 and 6 and I don't even know they were gone. And you're a bad pastor. Say what you want to. But here's what I know. I can't see every face. But let me tell you the ones I do always know if they're not here. Those that are involved. Those that are supposed to be at the door but are not. Those that are teaching Sunday school, but they're not here. Those that are volunteering in the nursery, but yet they don't. I always know when they're not here. So I'm telling you that if you want to get God's attention, it's not enough just to show up. If you want to get God's attention, it's not enough just to blend in with the crowd. If you want to get God's attention, it is not about your worshiping, filtering through me or the worship team. It is about you giving a sacrifice of praise unto God. That's why you can have two people sitting on the same seat or same row. And one feels the anointing of the Holy Ghost and the other one doesn't because one touched God and the other one didn't touch Him. We need to get God's attention. It's by faith. By faith, Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. You always got those saints who look at you and don't know why you have to praise like you do. You ever get those that look at you and go, all that ain't necessary? Well, let me just help you. Taking a bath ain't necessary. But everybody around you sure appreciates it. And it sure makes you feel better. I don't have to act the way I do. I don't have to lift up my hands. I don't have to do all that. However, I still want to get God's attention. And if I give him a sacrifice, then I will get God's attention. And sacrifices don't always smell good. Every once in a while, I'll sit next to somebody who mislabels their deadness for maturity. Well, I'm just much more mature than that. No, you're dead. I'm much more mature than that. You're stuck. It's time that we start getting God's attention again. There's got to be something in you that says, I love God, but I came today to get God's attention. I love you, but I don't love you more than I love God. And I've come to get God's attention because I've been with you and you ain't been able to help me. So I must got to get somebody who's over your pay grade, who's over your rank. So I must be about getting God's attention, not just yours. You know, I'm always amazed how people get upset when the preacher don't shake their hand. I've never been one of those guys. The preacher didn't shake my hand, no big deal. You know, I was at a conference and we had Ricardo Sanchez. We had him here a couple of times, and he was at the conference that I was at. And I went up to speak to him, but he was talking with somebody else, so I was very, you know, courteous to make sure. And he looked at me from a distance, and I could tell he was like, I know you, but I don't know you. Because I wasn't in Florida. I wasn't in a suit and things. And so he just gave me the nod and he walked on. Now I could have left there and went, well, Lord Jesus, we brought that man into Crystal River, put him in a hotel room, gave him a nice honorarium, gave him what he asked for. We fed him. I fed him. He's been with me, with my children, and he don't know me. How dare you? But you know what I did? I was like, oh, he didn't recognize me. Sherry said, hey, you can talk to Ricardo. I said, he didn't recognize me. But you know what? I don't care if he don't recognize me. I want God to recognize me. I don't care. I'm not going to get my underwear in a bunch just because he didn't recognize me. Ooh, Lord, I'm tired. I'm starting to use stuff I shouldn't use. My wife ain't. I'm not going to get it all bunched up because he didn't see me or he didn't recognize me, because I didn't come there for him to recognize me. He was a byproduct of what I came for. I came to get God's attention, and as long as God sees me, I don't care who else sees me. See, if you knew where I'd been through and what God brought me out of and what God brought me through, you wouldn't just stare at me. You'd be worshiping God with me and for me. Come on, somebody. See, I'm a preacher. Don't lay hands on me. I'm going to be all right if I don't get my picture with you. I'm going to be all right because I'm going to get God's attention. We was at this conference, and I was very shocked for the guy who was putting the conference on. He's pastors a very large church, but I went to speak with one of my friends that were on the panel of people that was going to be speaking. It was Brian Cutshaw, and I went to speak to Brian. And when I did, Pastor Kevin Wallace, and some of you won't know who that is, but Pastor Kevin said, hey, Pastor Ronnie, how are you? I went, well, he knows me. It fed my ego. I ain't gonna lie, it fed my ego. It was counteracted when Ricardo didn't speak to me, but it's all right. That fed my ego, but you know what? I really didn't care. I was thankful, and I'm courteous, and that ministered to me. However, it didn't minister to me as much as when God called me. Because when I was there that day, when I was there that night, the Lord came down, and I was given the sacrifice of worship, and the Lord come down and visited me and touched me, and I don't care who was with me. I was with friends. I was with my wife. But at that moment, when God stepped into my situation, I didn't care who was with me. I didn't care who was around me. I just didn't care, because God just stepped into my situation. See, that's all right. If I don't shake your hand, it's all right. If you don't get a picture with me, it's all right. If you don't get, you don't get any correspondence from me, it's all right. What you need to know is you've got to get God's attention. You've got to get God's attention. Hallelujah. I don't care what I got to do. I'll run through a troop, leap over a wall. I'll do jumping jacks, stand on my head. Whatever I got to do to get God's attention. I'm not looking to get man's opinion, man's attention. But if I can get God's attention, I know that His attention, with His attention comes His presence. And with His presence is fullness of joy. With His presence there's liberty. With His presence there is freedom that comes. We see the problem is though, we have in this country become so intoxicated with our own giftings that we've become drunk on our own talent. We worship our worship. We have faith in our faith. We praise our building and extol our leaders. But do we get God's attention? We have better, you know, you may differ, but we probably have better music today than we ever have had in the church. We've got better psalmists than we've ever had in this church. We've got better buildings than we've ever had in the church. We've got PA systems better than we've ever had. We've got restrooms better than we've ever had in church. Somebody remember the old church? Come on, somebody. We've got better than we've ever had, but do we have anything better to get God's attention? And I'll tell you what it is. No. All those things are great, but they don't get God's attention. God doesn't look down and go, oh, look at this building they erected for me. No, they didn't do that. Oh, look at this. Oh, look at, oh my goodness. He played the minor on there. Oh, he played the A flat augmented diminished. What God's looking at is who is worshiping me? Who is going after me? Who's trying to get my attention? We've got enough oil poured on us that we're ready for the deep fryer. But there's a place that we all got to get that we've got to get God's attention. There's a place that we've all got to get it, that we understand it's not by might nor by power, but by the Spirit of the living God. That's where we've got to get. If I can get God's attention, I can be helped. But if I can't get God's attention, then there ain't no help for me because people can't help me. Point number two is this. The children of Israel had to get God's attention in Exodus chapter 10, verses 24 through 25. And he said, and the Pharaoh called unto Moses and said, go ye and serve the Lord. Only let your flocks and your herds be stayed. Let your little ones go also with you. And Moses said, you must give us also sacrifices and burnt offerings that we may sacrifice unto the Lord our God. Moses said, let my people go. He said, let us go and worship. And the Pharaoh said, you can go worship, but leave your flocks here. Leave your sacrifices here. Leave your flock here. Are you listening to me? God's plan was for them to go 3 days into the wilderness and sacrifice. Pharaoh say, I'm going to let you go, but leave your herds behind. Because if you don't have herds, then you don't have the ability to sacrifice. So the devil says, go ahead and go to church, but leave your sacrifice at home. Go ahead and go to church, but don't give. Go ahead and go to church, but don't worship. Go ahead and go to church, but don't give of your service. Go ahead and go to church, but don't lift your hands. Go ahead and go to church, but don't lift your voice. Go ahead and go to church, but leave your sacrifice here. We've got a church, churches all across America that are full of people who have no idea what sacrifice really means. If you don't sacrifice, you can't get God's attention. And if you can't get God's attention, then it's easy for me to come and overthrow you. See, that's what Pharaoh was saying. Moses said that not one hoof shall be left behind. Because Moses understood, if I'm going to get things right with God, if I'm going to get God's attention, then I have to have the ability to sacrifice. Moses had an attitude that I'm not going to get loose of my sacrifice. I'll give it to God, but I won't give it to you. Listen, you got to understand that you got to recognize who you've given to. Whether it be money, whether it be time, whether it be affection, whether it be, you know, I've been a worship leader most of my life. I've been a worship leader. Even though I'm the pastor, I'm still a worshiper. Let me just tell you something. Whatever church you may go to or find yourself in, if the pastor is not the worship leader, then there's trouble in the church. Why? I'm not talking about the worship leader up here on stage. Pastor Dennis is our worship leader, but I am the true worship leader in the house. Because if I don't worship, people won't worship. And let me tell you something. I'm glad you worship, but I don't worship to get you to worship. I worship so that God will come down and touch our church. I worship so God will come down and touch me. Because when it's all said and done, I'm more concerned with God touching me than I am with Him touching you. Let's just be real. Because if God's going to use anybody, I want Him to use me. If He's going to shout anybody, let Him shout me. If He's going to dance anybody, let Him dance me. If He's going to let anybody anointing come, let it come through me. I'm a little stingy like that. Those of you that was here this morning, I don't have that pizza spirit no more, but I'm a little stingy with the anointing. I'm a little stingy with the presence. If you're going to be here, matter of fact, if the anointing gets on you, I'm going to get close to you. Because I want it to rub off. I am addicted to the presence of God. Too many of us allow the enemy to rob us of our sacrifice, which will rob us of the presence of God. The presence of God shows up at the point of sacrifice. Did you hear that? Presence of God shows up at the point of sacrifice. See, listen, some of you, and I'm not upset with anybody, but I'm just telling you what the Lord spoke. That some of you were there, some of you were sacrificed, and the Lord saw your sacrifice, but some of you just like, oh man, I'm not feeling it. Just not feeling it. But sacrifice doesn't mean that you do what you like. Sacrifice, that means that, Lord, I will give you a sacrifice of praise. Even when I don't feel like praising, I will praise you. Sacrifice means that I will worship when I don't feel like worshiping. Sacrifice means that I'll pray when I don't feel like praying. How many knows that if you prayed every time you just felt like praying, how many would ever pray? All right. Let's talk about the hedge a moment. The hedge. Job sacrificed unto God continually according to Job chapter 1 verse 5. But I want you to notice something. That his sacrifice got God's attention and a hedge was put about all about around him. And I want you to notice that we won't for time's sake, but if you went to Job, the first thing that Job lost was not his children. The first thing Job lost was his herd. The first thing Job lost was his ability to sacrifice. The first thing Job lost, because the devil knew that if I came after his children, that Job would run over and grab the best out of his herd and begin to sacrifice on the altar and would get God's attention. And because God's attention, he would have to step in and go, no. You ask anybody who goes through trouble, what's the first thing that tries to leave your lips is worship. The first thing that tries to leave you is praise. You don't want to come to the house of God. You don't want to praise. You don't want to worship because you're going through situation. You're going through trouble because the devil knows that if you can ever get God's attention and he step into that situation, then he knows that the battle's already lost. He knows the battle's already been won by you. If he can just take your praise, if he can take your sacrifice, because sacrifice has the ability to get God's attention. Without the ability to sacrifice in our life, we're open to attack of the enemy. If he could steal his sacrifice, then the hedge would come down. Some people are not even don't even understand what a battle is. It may not be an attack for a moment. It may be the fact that you've yet learned how to sacrifice unto God. We got to learn to sacrifice. We got to learn to sacrifice. You know, coming up in January, I know everybody ain't going to want to hear it, but some of y'all know what's coming in January. We'll start our Daniel fast. Pastor, you just love that Daniel fast. I hate the Daniel fast. Why? Because I am a carnivore. I love meat. Matter of fact, how did I lose my weight? Low carbs. Eat meat. That's how I lose weight. I eat meat. That's what I eat. But then to go on a Daniel fast means that I have to give up meat. And for the last 2 years that I've been living my life this way, I gained weight on the Daniel fast. Because I'm eating carbs. My lunch will consist of a large McDonald's fry. I hate it. Well, why do you do it? Sacrifice. Do you think I want to give up Snickers altogether? No! Why do I do it? Sacrifice. Sacrifice. Now, I don't have any trouble giving up broccoli. No trouble at all. But you know what? That's not a sacrifice unto God. That's not a sacrifice unto God for me. It might be for you, but it's not for me. And how many times, and don't get nervous, we're not taking them another offering, but how many times do we just haphazardly throw in a dollar in the offering plate or the offering bag? No sacrifice. We throw in an offering, we give a dollar a week to God and go out to eat after every service. We'll complain about giving $10 out of $100 to God, but don't think twice about spending $20 for a movie theater. Oh, preacher! I believe I will. We don't think nothing. Why? Because it's not a sacrifice. All of a sudden, the $10 that you spend for a 2-hour movie. $10. But yet that same $10 in the church becomes a sacrifice. Well, I'll tell you right now. Lord, you got to be thankful. Offering bag comes by, you got change for a 20. Got to pay my tithe. What I'm trying to get us to understand is sacrifice is not what you and I think it is most of the time. We come in, worship leaders worshiping, they're leading us into worship. People on stage are worshiping, and we sit there going, how are they ever going to quit? How are they ever going to quit? Yeah, they will quit when you start worshiping. Somebody told me one time, Pastor, you know, you preach a long time. I say, I preach a long time hoping you're going to get on board. If you'd get on board quicker, I'd preach faster. Maybe not, I don't know. Sacrifice. You know, there's a table out here. It's a table for El Shaddai Food Ministry, which, if you don't know, is our church. They have the portable one over there. In case you don't know, the El Shaddai Food Ministry is open every service after service for our church family if you need food. Now, you can't go in there grocery shopping. Oh, I think I'll take that. But we'll give you some bags of food. We'll help you. Last year, we fed 17,000 people in Crystal River. Now, I want you to know there's only 4,000 in Crystal River. But yet, we're doing a Thanksgiving can drive. Help me out. Do not bring the cans that you don't know what they are. Yeah. Oh, well, Lord, this is bad. Let me take that to the food ministry. We take outdated stuff. We take cans that ain't got any label on it, and the poor soul open it up, and all of a sudden they got Alpo to eat. Or some peaches that's got green slime all over it. That's not sacrifice. It kind of reminds me of the old farmer, the old two country boys. They was out camping out one day, and the one said, "Hey, Boudreaux." Said, "Boudreaux, if you had two cows, would you give me one?" Boudreaux said, "Thibodeau, man, you know we good. Thibodeau, you know that if I had two cows, I'd give you one of them. You're my best friend." Boudreaux said, "Man, I appreciate that." Boudreaux said, hey, man, if you had two pigs, would you give me one of them? Man, we best friends, Thibodeau. You know that if I had two pigs, I'd give you one of them." Boudreaux said, hey, man, if you had two chickens, would you give me one? And Thibodeau said, "Man, that ain't fair. You know I got two chickens." But that's what we want to do. We think it's sacrifice. There's another bin out there for toys. Don't go get that Barbie that's had seven operations. Hair burn off on one side. Got the leg of Jasmine, a different color. With no clothes. And talking about, "I'm going to sacrifice unto the Lord." No, you ain't. You getting rid of your junk. That's not a sacrifice. And you wonder, "God, I'm sacrificing for you. Why can't I get your attention?" Because that ain't a sacrifice. Sacrifice is giving your last. Sacrifice is giving your best. That's what sacrifice is. You can't worship without sacrifice. You can't worship. Point number four. You can't worship without sacrifice. If it's your sacrifice that gets God's attention. Until you sacrifice your worship, it's not empowered, and God is not in the midst of it until you sacrifice. Wouldn't it be so easy? Dennis, wouldn't it be easy if you just came up here and just went, "Hey!" One note, and everybody went into orbit. "Oh, my Lord, Pastor Willie Dennis, that was the greatest worship in this side of heaven." But that ain't going to happen. You know why? Because we got to get in here. Got to start the music. Got to pump to prime. Prime to pump. Oh, look at there. Stayed up. "Oh, if we'll just play that riff up. You know, I know. Boy, if we can get Sister Althea. You know, she can get that black thing going. Get to shaking that head. Yeah. If she can get that weave moving. Come on, somebody. If we can just get our feet going, hey, woo." And be careful when she starts that. If we can just get her going. But that ain't your sacrifice, that's her sacrifice. We think we can orchestrate our way out of sacrifice, and you can't do it. It's still going to cost us something. You can't be cute enough. You can't be pretty enough. It's going to cost you something. We've turned our churches into blue light specials. What can I get for the least amount of involvement? That's what we're looking for, a discount. And you know what I've learned? Learned that most of the time when you get a discount, that's what you got, discount. Anybody ever, you know, you go to these outlets and there's slightly something wrong with it, but you don't usually know it until you don't know what's wrong with it. This is no joke. They had a Bible outlet in Georgia. I picked up a Bible and it had just a few misnomers. The Gospel According to Gob. You know, they printed it wrong and some prints got messed up. And so it said, "The Gospel According to Gob." And it had all kind of just different little one things that made it, but made it not so good. And you know, and somebody, here's what I thought to myself. I told Sherry, I said, you know what? Here's what's sad. Somebody's going to come in here thinking they're going to help a mission trip, and they're going to buy 27 of these Bibles and give them out to people who are worshiping God. Oh, God, we give you glory, God. Glory to God. Sacrifice. We have to promise people the greatest return for the minimum investment. People go to church in town that promises from the most, that promises them the most for the least amount of commitment. We've raised up some Mickey Mouse Christians, some spiritual Gomer pals that don't know what's going to happen. Some Barney Fifes that the first time tragedy comes and the first time a battle comes, they don't know how to handle it. Because we've talked about this being just a little social club. And if you come to Jesus, everything's going to be all right. But I'll come by to tell you that Christianity is going to cost you something. The true relationship with God is going to cost you something. Let me tell you something. I love my wife of 28 years, but loving her and being with her has cost me some things. Sometimes it's cost me hair. Other times it's cost me patience. Sometimes, many times it's cost me money. Sometimes it's cost me sleep. It's cost me. Are you hearing me? Serving God and being in relationship with Him will cost you. But you know what? I didn't mind because she's worth it. She's worth it. Somehow we've come to an age where we have to sell people on coming to church. Everybody wants to reach out to the lost, but nobody wants to reach down in their pocket. Everybody wants a great nursery, but nobody wants to work it. Everybody wants a kids program that's out of this world, but nobody wants to be there to help make it happen. Everybody wants things done with excellence, but nobody wants to be excellent about what they do. It doesn't matter. You know, have you ever been to that place? We have a revival service, and or you have a guest speaker, and our church is bad. There's some people who know, and I know I'm not the greatest preacher, but if some people know that I'm not preaching, they won't show up. Like God's going to go, oh, well, Ronnie's not preaching today. I don't think I'll show up. Or we'll go through that thing where we'll ask, what is this guest minister's gift? Well, what's his gift? What does he bring to the table? Well, Lord, what books have he wrote? I've never even heard of this guy. What songs has he wrote? I've never even heard of him. What does he play? Does he play the piano? Does he do something? What else does he do? I don't know who he is. It don't matter what he does or what she does. If we scheduled him, drag your rusty, dusty knees up here and be in the house of God, because God might have something for you. All right, I'm getting tired. Saying things I shouldn't say. Here's my next line. If I go, I'm going to be tired tomorrow. That's what we go, oh man, if we go, I'm going to be tired tomorrow. Well, that's called a sacrifice. It's called a sacrifice. Well, but Pastor, you can take tomorrow off. I could. Yeah, you're right. I hardly ever take Mondays off because I refuse to take the day off. I don't feel like doing nothing. I drag my rusty, dusty self up here on Mondays. Because I was like, If I take off today, I'm going to stay in the bed all day. I'm going to sleep. I'm going to be on the couch all day from being so tired. So I'm not going to do that. I'm going to make myself get up. I'm going to go to the office. We're going to have staff meeting. We're going to do some things. And then I'm going to take another day off once I recuperated. That's the truth. But that's what we do. Well, you know, Pastor, if I go to revival, I'm going to be tired the next morning. But guess what? God sees it as a sacrifice. God sees it as a sacrifice, and you just may get what you've been wanting God to do for you because of it. When you give God something that is in short supply, I believe I'll say that again. When you give God something that is in short supply, that is what sacrifice is. If you got plenty of it, then it might not be a sacrifice to you. If you, all you got is time, it might not be a sacrifice. But if you, well, if you don't have any time, time might be the sacrifice that God's looking for you. But check it out. All right, here we go. Here comes God's attention. Let me wind this thing down. Here comes God's attention. In 1 Samuel chapter 5, the children of Israel lost the Ark of the Covenant to the Philistines. And the Ark of the Covenant represents and symbolizes the presence or the attention of God. The Philistines had taken the presence of God by the Ark of the Covenant and took it back into their camp. But now, so the presence of God began to have a strange effect on the Philistines. How many knows that if you ain't ready for it, the presence of God will have a strange effect on you? But here's what happened. The people begin to break out. And I'm just going to say what it is. Don't be upset. But they got a bad case of hemorrhoids. Read it in the Bible. It's right there. Some of y'all that had them, you know hemorrhoids is a plague. So they broke out. And so here's what they decided. They said, let's make a golden image. Read it for yourself. I'm not making this up. You know where I'm going. Let's make a golden image of what we've been afflicted with. So they made a golden image of a hemorrhoid. You ain't never heard anybody preach on hemorrhoids. But now check it. Y'all know how my mind works. I want to know who the poor guy was that was the model. And then worse, the guy who was the sculptor.
Well, that's offensive.
Well, talk to God. He's the one who gave me my mind. I just say things other people don't say. They think it, but they just won't say it. So here's what they said. They said, let's get rid of the presence of God. Now read it for yourself in 1 Samuel 5. Here's what they said. Let's build a wagon and send it back with some silver and gold and precious stones, and it will be our peace offering unto that God. Now, here comes the good part. They said, go find 2 nursing heifers. Go find 2 nursing heifers. Take them out of the field. Take their calves that are nursing and lock them up in the barn. And then we're going to take these 2 nursing heifers and hook them to this offering. Hook them to this sacrifice. And if they do what is natural and turn back and go to their children, then we'll know the presence. It should be here. But if they do what is unnatural and walk away from what they should be running toward, then we'll recognize that the God of the Israelites does not want his presence in our camp. Now, Pastor, what does that got to do with anything? Oh, it's the whole thing. The heifers do what is natural, which is turn around and find their young, then the ark will stay with us. Heifers speak of sacrifice. The reason they had heifers was to offer them as sacrifice. And a sacrifice means that you have to do like the heifers and walk away from something that is natural desire. A sacrifice is walking away from something that is a natural desire, like meat during the Daniel fast. Or like
Well, you know, God, I worshiped hard this morning, so let somebody else worship tonight. I'll just sit here and just absorb.
Lord, it's natural for me to save, but yet I know I'm going to give a sacrifice. And I'm not going to have that coffee tomorrow. And I'm not going to have this tomorrow, so I can sacrifice and give unto you. When you begin to sacrifice, God ties your blessings to your heifers. There's a heifer coming across the hill with your blessing on it. My God, every time that nobody thanks you for what you did, every time that you prayed, but nobody knew you prayed, God was just adding some gold, some blessing on your wagon. Every time when they didn't thank you for working the nursery, God is putting some gold on your wagon. Every time they didn't thank you for what you've done, God is putting some gold. He's putting a blessing on your wagon. And you've got to declare, I've got God's attention, and I don't know when, but I know that my heifers are coming. Look at your neighbor, tell him your heifers are coming. Now, I didn't tell you to call them a heifer. I said, tell them their heifers are coming. God says, I've got this wagon all built. I've got this wagon all built and loaded. I just need something to hook the wagon to. I just need a couple of heifers to hook the wagon to. I need a couple of sacrifices to hook the wagon to. Are you getting this? I got the wagon built. I got it loaded. I got to have something to link this wagon. I need some sacrifice to pull the wagon to your house. Your heifers are coming. You've never done anything for God that God didn't make a record of. And he keeps loading your wagon. I don't know about you, but I know I got some wagons out there. Now I'm thankful I've had some wagons pull up on my doorstep. I felt like this morning I had a wagon pull up on my doorstep. What was it? It was the presence of God. But I want you to know your heifers are coming. Your heifers are loaded. Your wagon's loaded. Every time you sacrifice, God just feeds the heifer. For some, it's going to be a big wagon. It's going to be a big wagon. Your heifers are coming. Keep doing what's right. Keep doing what you know to do. Your heifers are coming. Your heifers are coming, Travis. Your heifers are coming. Bobby, only God knows how many prayers you've prayed for people you don't even know. At least only God knows how many prayers you've prayed for people you didn't know, people you interceded for. Only God knows, Karen, how many times you've worked for him that nobody else knows. You wasn't seeking the applause of man, but you got the attention of God. Heifers are coming. You know, I think about you sometimes. Rodney's our custodian here at the church. He works here.
does a great job keeping our church tidy and working. He's our maintenance guy. He does a great job. Let me tell you something about Rodney. He don't do it for the hourly wage that he gets. I mean, don't get me wrong, he needs that. But you can tell by the work that he does and how he does the work that he does it for the glory of God. Every mile you drove, all the time that you've given up to be here. Some of you don't know, Dennis drives two hours just to be here on Sundays and Wednesdays. We supply him with a little apartment across the street. We give him a small stipend of a salary. But still, he drives 2 hours. His wife comes on Sunday morning, leaves on Sunday night because she has to work Monday. He takes Monday off. She comes back on Monday night to her practice, and then they go home together late Monday night. Your heifers are coming. Your heifers are coming. I could go around and around and around to some of you that God, that nobody else knows but God, what you've done. Your heifers are coming. Sacrifice. Sacrifice. Would you stand to your feet?
Hallelujah. Praises to your name.
Holy, holy.
Holy, holy. Let every tongue proclaim. Hosanna. Joyfully. A sacrifice of praise.
You know, listen to me. The Lord just spoke this into my spirit for somebody. You've been done wrong. I don't know who you are, and I want to say that you've been taken advantage of. And it's just really in your crawl that you've been taken advantage of. But there's not much you can do about it. So the Lord said, just make it a sacrifice unto me. Excuse me. Pastor, how do I do that? You just physically say, God, I give this to you as a sacrifice. I'm not going to lose any more sleep over it. I'm going to let you deal with them. And I sacrifice it for the sake of peace. I sacrifice it for the sake of peace. And God said, your heifers are coming. Hallelujah. Ooh, praises to your name. Holy, holy.
Holy, holy. Let every tongue proclaim.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you are blessed by listening to this message and invite you to join us at our Crystal River campus. We meet for service on Sundays at 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. and again in the evening at 6 p.m. Our midweek service and youth service is on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. We're located at 2180 Northwest 12th Avenue in Crystal River, Florida.